Daflam and Heyam and Aleph are all the beginning of Periketz and Mevarchin, which is all about making brachos on food. What brachos is it appropriate to say? So the first four words are Ketz and Mevarchin Aleph Peros, which is a little song that I sing with my kids. Ketz and Mevarchin Aleph Peros, Ketz and Mevarchin Aleph Peros, and I go through every single bracha with them. So it's a nice beginning of a song. So this sort of begs an interesting question, because when one is teaching their children about brachos, they often do begin with, in fact, a lot of the yesodos, which are in the first Mishnah. Then on Peiros Ha'ilon, on Futz you say Berei Pi Eitz, on wine you say Berei Pi Agapen, on food that grows from the ground, Yurakos and Kitnius, you say Berei Pi Adama, on bread you say Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, all of the different brachos that are listed in this Mishnah. And yet, if you look at the discussion which ensues in the Gemara, the discussion is all about Minan Imili. How do we know that we make these brachos rishonos? What's the source? And we try to derive maybe some sort of a Daraisa source. And the general understanding of the Maskan of the Gemara is that we're not able to really find the perfect marker in terms of the Pesukim of the Torah. It's a Svara of some sort. It's generally understood that the bracha rishonos is only Midrabanan. The bracha acharona, when you make Bircha Tamazon, so the Gemara earlier on Chaf Aleph Amin Aleph indicated that that's derived from Echal Tov V'Sevat V'Yachta, that Birchas Amazon L'Acharea is Min HaTorah, says the Gemara. So that appears to be a much more substantial obligation. And yet, when we're teaching our children, so eventually we get around teaching them Birchat HaMazon, that they should say the entire Birchat HaMazon, at least they start with the first bracha and so forth. But it seems that at least in terms of the timing of the chinuch, their ability to say the bracha Rishona comes a lot sooner in terms of just being able to say a shahakol, to be able to say a Berei Pi Yais and so forth. And yet, it appears that that's only Mita Rabban. So it could be, there may be, one explanation is that, as we'll see from the continuation of the sugya, that there's a real isser attached to the bracha rishona. Even if it's only an isser on a derabanan level, the notion of the fact that we have to make a bracha rishona is a svara that asa lo le'adam shi'ana min olam hazeh b'lo bracha. It's a svara that it should be prohibited to get anah from this world without a bracha. So even though there is a mitzvah sesei and a daraisa level for birchan amazon, and there might only be an issur and a rabbanan level. So if you look in the Mishnah Brura at the beginning of in the Simen Rei Shin Mem Gimel in Hilchos Shabbos, so the Mishnah Brura talks about the mitzvah chinuch in general that is incumbent upon parents, and the Mishnah Brura seems to indicate. This is how others understand the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah seems to indicate that the age at which one is obligated to teach Yisurim to a child may be a little bit earlier than the age in which one is obligated to teach positive commandments, whether it's on a Deraisa or a Derabanan level. That the age for Yisurim is when a child can understand that something is prohibited, and the age of positive commandments is when a child has a full understanding of exactly what they're doing. They have an understanding of the mitzvah, they have an understanding of exactly how you go about shaking a lulav, you understand exactly how do you go about saying Birchat HaMazon, so that might come at a later age. So it could be that that's an explanation of the Minhag HaOlam, that the children generally learn to master the brachos rishonos even before they master the brachos achronos, even though Birchat HaMazon is on a deraisa level. But obviously we try to get them started as quickly as possible. So this notion that the Gemara says towards the bottom of Laman Heyam and Aleph, that the whole thing is a Sevara, that also the Lord, the Mashiach, and Allah may say below brachos. So there are two different components of this statement. One is it's a Sevara, and the other is that there is some sort of an Isser involved. So I gave one possible ramification in terms of this Mani Chinuch, of the fact that there's some sort of an Isser involved in partaking in food and partaking of Hanah without making a bracha. What's another possible ramification? So one other ramification of the fact that there's an Isser component involved may be the following case. If a person is an onen, so we know that an onen is part of mikol mitzvah shebetorah. We had earlier in the Masechta machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos as to whether this is just an exemption. The beginning of Perek Mishameso is this only? Rashi seems to indicate that it's only an exemption. That somebody's an onen, they lost a close relative, and it's the first, it's the first moments, the first day, until the person died. They're making the burial arrangements. So they're in this period of anino. So they are part of mikol mitzvah shebetorah. So Tosfos says it's not only a pitor, it's an isser that the person's not allowed to perform any mitzvahs whatsoever. And included within the items in which an onen onen is not supposed to perform is that an onen does not make a bracha la'achar amazon, and an onen doesn't make a bracha lifnei amazon. An onen doesn't make any brachas whatsoever. So this notion that an onen doesn't make any brachas, so we understand that an onen doesn't perform any mitzvahs, and we even pass him like Tosfos that it's prohibited for an onen to perform any mitzvahs. But what about Isurim? So the Birkei Yosef says that the Isurim clearly are not relaxed for somebody who's an Onein. We don't say that just because somebody is an Onein, they're so bitter, it's so sad, they lost their relatives, so now they can do whatever they want. They can cheat and they can steal and they can be Mechal Shabbos, they can eat Chas, they can kill people. So we don't say that. An Onein is not allowed to do any Isurim. So on that basis, he has a Nafkamina. A Nafkamina would be that, let's say, somebody is about to eat. So he says that even though he doesn't make a bracha, because an onen is exempt from all mitzvos, nonetheless, an onen should wash his hands, because the notion of eating without washing your hands, that itself is an iser, that one is not supposed to eat without washing their hands, whether it's because of strach tshuma or nikiyos, the person's not supposed to eat without washing their hands. So because it's an iser, so he should wash his hands and not make a bracha. That's the psak of the Birkei Yosef. So the Geshur Chaim asks a question. The Geshur HaChaim, Perek Yud Ches, where he has the laws of Aninus in the Sefer Geshur HaChaim. So he asks, so by the same reasoning that the Birkei Yosef says, that since there's an issur to eat without washing your hands, you have to wash your hands, so you should also follow that since the Gemara here on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, since there's an issur to get Hanah from this world, without making a bracha, that we should require at least that the person make a bracha Rishona. Okay, so maybe they don't have to say Birkei Yosef, at least they should make a bracha Rishona, because that's in the realm of an actual issur. So the Geshur HaChaim gives a teretz. He says that he thinks that maybe the answer is that once there's a pitur for making a bracha, so once there's a pitur for making a bracha, so there's no iser anymore of partaking min ha'olam hazeh without a bracha. There's only an iser if we have a bracha. Once there is a bracha, so then there's an iser to partake without a bracha. We exempt you from the bracha, so there's no iser. It sounds a little bit circular. But that's the answer that the Geshur HaChaim says. The Divrei Sofrim, the Sefer Divrei Sofrim in Hilchos Avelus, gives a similar answer. He says that the notion of that the Gemara goes on to say that somebody who partakes from Olam Hazeh without making a bracha has committed on some level an Isser Me'ilah. So he says that this notion that you have committed an Isser Me'ilah is only in the event that there is a Chiyuv Levarech. If there's a Chiyuv Levarech, so then we say if you didn't make a bracha, it's Ki'ilu Ma'al. But if there's no actual Chiyuv Levarech, so then we don't say that it's Ki'ilu Ma'al. So both of these Terutzim sound a little bit similar, that the Isser presupposes that there's a bracha. So on the one hand, we're saying that the bracha is based on the fact that there's an Isser, then we're saying, yeah, but that's only if there's a bracha. That's only when we make a Chiyuv Bracha. We don't make a Chiyuv Bracha, so then there's no Isser. So it sounds a little bit circular. But that's the teretz that they both give. Others say, no, let's be consistent. So the Shevet Yehuda is quoted by the Divrei Sofrim, says, let's be consistent, that the same way that we say that an onen doesn't make a bracha before eating, even though there might be an issur component, so he also shouldn't do netilas yadayim either. And the Stei Chemi goes in the other direction. He says, the same way that the Birkei, the kasha is such a good kasha, that we have to change the din. That the same way that the Birkei Yosef pointed out that there's an issur to eat without netilas yadayim, and therefore we require netilas yadayim without a bracha, so too, we should require that an onen make a bracha rishona, because there's an issur of eating without a bracha. So the Stei Chemi says, but the halakha is not that way. The halakha is that we do draw a distinction. We generally assume that the onen should wash his hands without a bracha, but that an onen should not make a bracha beforehand. So we have the answers that were given by the Geshur HaChaim and the Divrei Sofrim, who say, well, the whole principle, the whole Isser only pertains when we have a Chiyuv Bracha. If we didn't impose the Chiyuv Bracha, then the Isser doesn't pertain. Is there another Mahalach? Maybe. So I thought maybe there's another Mahalach. So again, take it or leave it, it's my own suggestion. So the Gemara later on Lamed Hei Amud Beis talks about if somebody is eating something for refuah purposes. So the Gemara says that if you're eating something for refuah purposes, then normally the assumption would be that you shouldn't make a bracha. The sugya begins on Lamed Hei Amud Beis, talks about somebody who has to refuah purposes, has to take some shemen, he mixes it with a nigron, some sort of a water turnip solution. And then the Gemara says at the end, Ma'od etem, came into the refuah kamakov in the liver chaleh klal. I might have thought that since it's for refuah purposes, the person shouldn't make a bracha at all. Like what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, that if something is just, it's not even like the regular food, it's only a medicine. Like there's some syrupy solution, like cough medicine that a person takes. They wouldn't take it if they were healthy. They're only taking it because they're sick. So even though it tastes good, he's mechanish, and even though it tastes good, it's generally assumed that if it tastes good, you make a bracha. So he says that's only if it's like a food that you might eat, that you're eating because you're sick, but it's a food that you could eat even if you're not sick. So then if you like it, you make a bracha. He says if it's purely a medicinal food and you happen to like it, so you still don't make a bracha, he says. So I would have thought that this is because of refuah, lo livracha le'aklal, kamash malon, kiven de isle hanamine by beruche. Since the person is getting some sort of a hana from it, then the person still makes a bracha. So certainly if it's shemen mixed with enigmon, that a person, if they're healthy, they could eat. They just happen to be eating it because they're sick, and they're getting hana, so therefore they make a bracha. So so the Geshur Chaim points out that in his opinion, if this dispensation that an onen has for not making a bracha before he eats, he says that doesn't apply if he's going to smell, in his opinion, if he smells a spice. If he wants to smell a nice spice, so then he thinks that he has an issue. He shouldn't smell the spice, shouldn't make a bracha, and shouldn't smell the spice. But he has no right to smell the spice, the nice spice, without making a bracha. Because then he says he thinks the yissa would apply. Why is it that he thinks that the yissa would apply in such a case? Because he said, who told him that he has to run around smelling sweet spices when he's a nonen? Eating and drinking, I understand he has to do, because he's not going to be able to function. He's not going to be able to prepare properly for the burial. He won't be able to function in life if he doesn't eat something. We don't allow him to have bas or yayin. We don't, an onen, you know, is restricted a little bit. But to go out of his way and to smell a nice besamim, so that he thinks is completely, would be wrong for an onen to do. So by the same token, let's think about how we're magdir the eating and drinking of the onen. So if we're saying that we're only being magdir that he's eating and drinking because it's a dabe hechrechi, so really he would be, the state of an onen would be that he has no hana. There's no hana to partake of. That's why we say it's not appropriate for him to just stop and go around getting hana or to smell spices, as the Geshur Chaim says. He has to eat. So his eating might be in the geder that it's almost like a bitter tasting refuah, that he has no choice, but he has to take this refuah. He has to eat in order to be able to take care of the mace, but there's no hana. What do we say earlier in the Masechta? We're talking about Aninus Delilah. So we said that Rabban Gamliel held Aninus Delilah is owing to Rabbanim because the Ikar Aninus is during the day. Vacharisa ki yomar, right? That Aninus is all about a yomar. It's all about, everything is bitter. Everything is completely bitter. So the food that the owner eats, it's completely bitter food that he's eating and drinking. So it's like the person who's taking a refuah that doesn't even taste good, in which case there would be no bracha because there's no hana that the person is getting. So maybe that's an explanation why we say that there's no issur in this case, because it's no hana. The issa would be the person's getting hana. No name by definition. His state is he's not eating. There's no hana involved in the eating process of an oni. So that's a chiddush gadol, just as an explanation. But because I wasn't completely satisfied with the answers that I read, so I thought I'd come up with a different answer. And this is a way also to fit in another gemara that's on the dot. So that's a possible mahalach. To why, how we can justify the fact that the onen eats without making a bracha, despite the fact there's an issur. No issur, no hana. All right, so the other interesting formulation in this chiyuv bracha that we have is that we call it a svara, a svarahu. So if it's a svara, what does that mean in terms of the status of the chiyuv to make a bracha? What's the status of something that is an actual bracha? So Tosfos over here, Dibur Maskil, Lefanav L'Kol Shekein, indicates that it's very clear that the bracha Lefaneha is only a requirement Midrabban, and not the Oraisa. Christosus asks, when the Gemara proposed that there be a Kal V'Chomer, you make a bracha afterwards, you should make a bracha before, and he said it can't be a bona fide Kal V'Chomer, because then it would be a deraisa obligation. It's clearly not a deraisa obligation. Tosis explains that's why we relax it. In the case of the Baal Keri, the Tanakhama that was quoted earlier in the Mishnah, and Chof Aleph Amid Aleph says that a Baal Keri doesn't make a bracha lefanav. He does. He only makes the bracha afterwards because that's their raisa. But the bracha lefanav on food he doesn't make. So Tosa says we wouldn't have relaxed the bracha if it would have been on a deraisa level. It must be on a derabanan level. And by the same token, that's why the Gemara in Tessayin Amid Aleph says that if you have poalim, you have workers who are getting paid good money, so they have to abbreviate their ritual performances during the day, so they are permitted to make the bracha l'acharea. but they're not permitted to make a bracha lefanam, according to the brisa that was quoted. As we said nowadays, balabatim are not makbid on their poalim from performing a mitzvah, so we assume that everyone that the poalim can do all of these things. But the Gemara there assumed that there could be a bifurcation, that the bracha afterwards okay, the bracha before, and they shouldn't make. So Tosa says you wouldn't have had any of these dispensations if it would have been a deraisa obligation as opposed to a derabanan obligation. So the Pnei Yoshua on this daf asks and says that no, if it's a sevara, so we know that the Gemara often says lamli kras sevarahu, that if something is a sevara, it's more powerful than a pasuk. A pasuk is only required if you couldn't figure out something on your own. Like the notion of the Gemara in Baba Kama and Lamed Vav says it's about a mosim mechavayu alav araya, that it's such a powerful svara that you don't require a pasuk altogether. So generally the Pnei Yeshua says that if we say that something is so strong that it's a svara, then that should make it a deraisa. So why should you assume that it's a derabanan? So he says that even if it would be a deraisa, so he doesn't necessarily dispense with this idea that maybe bracha lefaneh could be a deraisa. But he says that even if it would be a deraisa, we would still institute the notion of safek brachas lahakel, because if a person even is thinking about whether or not it's appropriate to make a bracha, then if they make a bracha when it's not required, that would be an issara bracha lebatala, which is also an issara daraisa. So he said, so the sevara goes away. Meaning if the whole thing is a sevara, so the sevara is only a good sevara if the only issa you had to worry about was getting enough from this world without a bracha. But if there's another issa that enters into the fold, namely there's the issa of making a bracha lebatala, so then the sevara is completely eradicated. It's not a question of one daraisa outweighing another daraisa. That's not the issue. That would be if you were talking about Birchan HaMazon. Birchan HaMazon is a bona fide daraisa, so therefore we paskin that if there's a suffix, whether somebody benched or not, based on the Gemara and Chafal from now, the Rambam paskins, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, since Birchan HaMazon is a daraisa, it's a requirement daraisa, let's say a person ate their fill, they were satiated, Birchalta b'sabata, and they were required to bench on a daraisa level. But they didn't remember whether they benched or not. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is that the person is obligated to bench again. That's what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The person will bench again. Maybe they didn't bench to begin with. We don't know. So therefore they have to bench, because that's what we say is the suffik daraisa, because it's the daraisa remains. So Pnei Yeshua says over here is that even if the svara is in a daraisa level, the svara doesn't remain. The svara can go away. The svara is based on the fact that I would commit an issur if I don't eat, but if I'm worried about making a bracha lebatala, so then I don't have the svara anymore, because I have to worry about a different issur. I have to worry about making a bracha lebatala. So then even if the svara is at a daraisa level, that svara would go away if I'm talking about bracha rishon. And similarly, in the case of the Baal Keri, the svara would go away. Because what's the reason that the Baal Keri doesn't make the bracha to begin the bracha Rishona? The reason the Baal Keri doesn't make the bracha Rishona is because of Kavod HaTorah. It's Kavod HaTorah, it's not Kavod to the Torah that a Baal Keri is going to make a bracha. So once I have a countervailing svara of Kavod HaTorah, I have a countervailing svara that there's going to be a potential issa bracha lebatala. So in all of these cases, the svara requiring the bracha Rishona based on not getting enough from this world without a bracha just falls by the wayside. So it could be that the svara is on a daraisa level, but the svara can be knocked out by the specter of a possible issur by a countervailing svara. So that's what the Pnei Yoshua suggests. And he said that, so you still have to worry about the svara that the person is getting hanah, and it's improper to get hanah from this world without making a bracha. In a case where, say, I have a suffik bracha to begin with. So he said, no, if I have a suffik bracha to begin with, so then, this is sort of very interesting. I don't know if anyone else besides the Pnei Yeshua says this, but he said, given that at the end of the day, the person's going to say Birchat HaMazon at the end, they're ultimately not going to be in a permanent state of getting hanah from this world without a bracha. They're going to eventually make a bracha. They'll make the bracha at the end. They'll make the bracha deraisa at the end. So since we always have that to fall back upon, so whenever there are countervailing svaros with respect to the bracha rishona, so making the bracha rishona is going to lose out to the countervailing svaros, because the one chip, or the one ace that it has up its sleeve, namely that you shouldn't get a svara, you shouldn't get enough in this world without a bracha, so that can be corrected later on anyway through the Birchan HaMazon. So that's what the Pnei Yoshua says in this daf. A very fascinating Pnei Yoshua. So we mentioned that in general there's this distinction between the bracha achrona and the bracha rishona, that the bracha achrona, the birchan hamazon anyway, which we know is midaraisa, is a machlokis, whether main shalosh, whether alamichya is the araisa or not. That's a question, whether alamichya is the araisa or not. But birchan hamazon we know is required on a daraisa level. So the halacha paskin in Shulchan Aruch is that if a person doesn't remember if they said birchan hamazon and they ate kedei sviya, then they repeat the birchana. Then they say birchana mazon. If they didn't eat kedei sviya, they're only chayav birchana mazon mitarabbanan. They only ate a kezayis kebeitza. We paskin that you say birchana mazon even with just a kezayis, like Rabbi Meir. So if that's all they ate, but they didn't eat kedei sviya, they didn't eat their full, they're not fully satiated, so then it's only a suffik at a drabbanan level. Then they would not say birchana mazon. It's only when they actually ate kedei sviya, then there's a suffik whether they made birchana mazon, that we would say that the person should go and say birchana mazon. But when it comes to bracha rishona, so there we say that suffik bracha is the hakel, and we assume that the person would not repeat the bracha. This comes up when you have various fakes that are mentioned in Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. The case of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, it talks about, let's say, a person has beer in front of them and they have in mind, they start the bracha that they're going to say, they're going to make a bracha on Yayin, right? If they have in mind that they're going to make the bracha on Yayin is not going to cover beer. So even if they end up saying Shehakol Nia Bidvaro on the beer, since when they said Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, they had in mind the Yayin, so it's a suffik in the Gemara whether the person is Yotzi or not. So Tosa says, so we go Lakula. So Tosa clearly there is assuming that we go Lakula because of the fact that it's only a din d'rabbanan anyway. That seems to be the understanding of Tosas. Then Tosas quotes another Baal HaTosas, the Ri, says that you should go Lachumah. You should be Tzarech Levarech Par Macheret. So it could be the machlokis between the Rav Ilfus, who says you go Lakula, which is how we paskin, and the Ri, who says you go Lachumah, is this machlokis as to whether this is the Bracha Rishon is a din d'rabbanan or is a din d'araisa. Could be that's the machlokis. So we paskin in Shulchan Aruch that we go Lakula, that the person in that circumstance would not have to make another bracha. If there was a deraisa situation, then we assume the person would have to make another bracha. What would be a deraisa application of this situation? A person has person ate a meal and they're obligated to say birchat hamazon. Let's go the other direction. A person, they ate a meal and they're obligated to say birchat hamazon, but then they start with having in mind that they're going to say borei nefashos, right? They start having in mind they're going to say borei nefashos, and then they launch into a whole birchat hamazon afterwards. So is that birchat hamazon a valid birchat hamazon or not? So mistama, according to this reasoning, it wouldn't be, because that's a situation where the person has a chiyuv d'araisa, and there's a suffix as to whether if somebody had in mind a different bracha when they began with, so that could be problematic. So that would actually be a problematic situation. But what would be another application of this suffix brachos l'hakel situation? So the Gemara on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis talks about if a person said that they were no dear min hamazon. So we say a person who is no dear from any kind of mazon, so they're mutter in water and salt. The only things that are not included within water or within mazon, we said, are considered to be water and salt. And the Gemara says, now mazon has a very specific meaning. The mazon is restricted to the zonas type things, but only to the hey meaning, for the chameshis meaning, but it's talking about a person who says hazan olai, anything which is zan, anything which provides nourishment, anything which is zan. So mizonos is a lashon of zan, and included within the nether, what the person would be prohibited in is anything which is zan, which nourishes, and the only exclusion to that is water and salt. So the Gemara doesn't say that this has ramifications with respect to the bracha b'rei minei mizonos, but in Siman Kuf Samach Zayin in Orach Chaim, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Birkei Yosef, who says that because of this Gemara, b'di'evid, since everything is zan except for mayim u'melach, if a person made a shahakol niyeh, a b'rei minei mizonos, on any food other than mayim u'melach, anything other than water or salt, the person b'di'evid is yotze. The person is b'di'evid yotze. So what does that mean? The person is b'di'evid yotze. So that means that the person doesn't have to make another bracha because it's a suffik. It happens to be a suffik ledina. The Birkei Yosef holds this way. Not everybody holds this way. Some disagree. I think the Steichemet disagrees and says that no, you're not going to be yotze any food in the world by making brei mizonos. I have an egg. I have a piece of meat. I have a fair piece of fish in front of me. I have an apple. I have an orange. I have a turnip. So according to the shita, if you say berei minei mizonos and any of these things, you're going to be yotze. So not everybody agrees with that, but because there are those who hold that way based on the Gemara and Laman Ham. So we paskin the Be'er Halacha paskin Simchos Tamach Zayin. You don't have to say another bracha. But what about the fact that there is this iser to participate, to get hanah from this world without making a bracha? And here we don't know that the person has made the right bracha. So Moshe Feinstein is mechadesh in Orachayim Chelik Dalet Simen Mem. I think the first sif of that simen. So Moshe Feinstein is mechadesh in a tshuva that he wrote to Rabbi Chaim Greenblatt that since this is very b'di'evit, and we have to, we say Safek Brachas LaHakel, and we also don't want the Bracha to be Levatol, a person made a Bracha, so we're going to allow the person to eat afterwards, because there is a basis to allow the person to eat something, since there is a Shita that says Berei Minei Mizonos could work on this piece of fish that he's eating, but we only allow him to eat the bare minimum. A person can eat, only is allowed to eat the very, very bare minimum. He takes one tiny little crumb, one tiny little taste of the fish, and then he shouldn't eat anymore. And if he wants to continue eating, so he should do something actively in order to be mechayev himself another bracha. What would that be? He could be shown a mikomo. He could pick up from the where he is, and he can move to another building. He can move to another place where the chol hadeis he'd be obligated to, where at least a strong argument would be made that he'd be obligated to make another bracha. And under those circumstances, then he would make another bracha. He would make the correct bracha. He would make the shahakoni abidraro, and he would continue to eat the rest of his meal. But he should not eat more than the bare minimum. What is this premised upon? It's premised upon the fact that the issa didn't necessarily go away. That our concern that a person should is asur lehenas me'olam hazeh b'li bracha, and that somebody who gets such hana would be considered like the moel. So that concern didn't go away. So even though we say Safek Brachos Lahak and we allow him to eat a little bit, but we would not allow him to eat more than the bare minimum according to Rav Moshe. And you have this reflected in a different halacha of the Shulchan Aruch. The locus of poskim, where somebody says Havlan Menivrich, somebody at the end of the meal says, "Oh, let's get ready to bench." So are they allowed to eat anymore after that or not? They can't drink. But are they allowed to eat anymore? So that's the machlokas poskim, whether that's a final statement saying I'm done eating, or whether if the person was a nimloch and they said, no, I decided I want to eat a little bit more, whether they would be allowed to eat without a bracha. So Shulchan Aruch poskins, they shouldn't eat anymore, because it's a suffix whether they need to make a bracha or not. So here's not a case where they made a bracha and we need them to eat something. It's a question as to whether they have the right to eat. So we say because there's a question, there's a suffix, then maybe they will be nanim me'olam hazeh b'li bracha. So in such a case, I'm not worried about a bracha levatalo, because they didn't make a bracha. The bracha they made much earlier, they ate plenty of food during the meal. Now it's just a question of eating a little bit more before benching. So then we say they shouldn't eat. So Rabbi Forsper points out in his Sefer that all of this seems to be contradicted by a different halacha, which is born in Shulchan Aruch and Simakov Samak Zayin. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that if a person isn't sure, they're sitting down in a big meal, and they don't remember whether they made Birchas HaMotzi or not. And they not remember. They don't remember if they washed. Maybe they remember they washed, but they don't remember if they made Birchas HaMotzi. And they think they may have made it, they may not have made it. So what is the person supposed to do? So the stamma of the Shulchan Aruch seems to just say that since it's a suffix with respect to a bracha rishona, so it's not on a deraisa level, and suffix brachas lahakel, so we allow the person to just continue their meal and go about their merry way. And it doesn't say over there the person should be mishana makam, the person should try to instigate a new way of being chai of the bracha. The Aruch Shulchan has this eight, so whenever the person's in doubt, they should say a bracha b'loshan laz. So that you're not saying Hashem's name in a way that you'd be mostly Shem Shemaim Lebatala, and the many hold that you could be Yotze the bracha by saying it b'loshen laz. So the Be'er Halacha doesn't, the Moshe Feinstein and others don't like that suggestion of the Aruch HaShulchan, because they say that it could be that you are saying Shem Shemaim Levatol. Even if you say God's name in English, that could be Levatol. If you're saying in the context of a bracha translated into English, they think that doesn't solve the problem. Some say that you should be Maharir, that if you be the Evid, maybe according to the Rama, if you Maharir the bracha, for sure that's not considered Levatol. If you're just thinking it, maybe you could be Yotze thinking, so maybe in such a case you should think it. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have any of these suggestions. It just says, no, the person doesn't know if you made a mos, he just goes on and eats the meal. So we're forced to ask, how do you explain the discrepancy in these halakhas? So he says, possibly, he's not sure of the answer, but he suggests a possible answer, that if there's no way of clarifying the suffix, so then we just start kovei the din, that suffix, lachel, you go forward. But if it's a question that, according to some, we know that you made that you have no right to continue eating, because it's a machlokas haposkim, and we only say suffix lachel suffix lachel because of the fact that there are some poskim who say that if you made the bereim zonas on your name is zonas on shakol, so you were yotze. But others say you are a yotze. So if it's a question of poskim, and some poskim would say that for sure you have no right to continue, so then we try to figure out some sort of a solution. The same thing with the havla menivach situation. There you can also distinguish because the person there is not a new bracha. But anyway, in the havla menivach situation as well, so it's a machlokas haposkim. So there we say you have no right to just continue eating because it's something not to know what to do. But here we have no way of being machriya whether you made the birchas hamotzi or not. You don't know. Nobody took a videotape or whatever, and we don't. We just have no way of knowing whether you did it or not. So in such a case, he says that maybe there's the potential that we're more makel. He's not 100% sure of this malach. That's the malach that he suggests. Okay, I got it for today.